What's good? You are now tuning into the Man Stash Podcast.
What up, what up, what up, world? It is your boy Polo Pool, and I am the host of the Man Stash Podcast. It is a new Monday, new week, and of course, there's a new message. This is episode 5. I want to take the time out for those who have listened to my previous 4 episodes where I've talked about mental health. I talked about communication and effective communication in regards to relationships. I've talked about self-awareness and plenty of other things that just as a black community and just a young black male perspective probably swirl within their mind on a day-to-day basis. But this, you know, podcast is for all who are welcome to listen, who are engaged as far as the, you know, African-Americans perspective, let alone just pushing the initiative and the drive and support of young black males within the community and just supporting and uplifting them. But aside from that, I just want to take the time off for you guys to continue to share, repost, email, DM, whatever the case may be, all forms of communication. I thank you guys for, you know, giving me your feedback and input. Please continue to promote for me. I've gotten a lot of people from a lot of places who have, you know, encouraged me and who have uplifted this podcast and just this movement. And so it's a beautiful thing. And I just want to take the time out, guys, to thank you. And the ones that are new today and listen to this episode, I also want to thank you as well, just for taking time out your busy days and your busy schedule just to listen to a sliver of what I have to say, whether you know, give 2 rocks about it or you're extremely serious and interested about it. I just want to say thank you. You could be doing anything at any time or any place, but I'm glad that I have you guys here right now. So without further ado, let's get into episode 5. And episode 5 is going to be entitled "Hands Up, Don't Shoot." It is a infamous quote due to the social injustice of Michael Brown, who was slain by a police officer within Ferguson. And the reason why I bring up this topic and discussion is because here we are going into a new school year for our kids and loved ones and just young ones out there. And the biggest threat for our kids right now is going to be those active shooters. I mean, hell, we even got bulletproof book bags at Staples now. You can actually get those at Amazon.com. But the fact that it's becoming a common thing, let alone an accessory to a heightened issue that needs to be addressed immediately and swiftly. But the reason why I bring this up is because it is a huge threat. And I have my oldest son going to grade school this year. Now, the previous years, they've been in daycare, but it's been a daycare where they also learn cognitive dissonance, you know, projective theory, patterns, shapes, numbers, letters, etc., whatever, what have you. I felt a sense of safety there because it was pretty secure. But here it is, you know, my son is going to a new school and it's a new environment, a new element. And one of those things in regards to that is going to be the threat of active shooting. Now, just give you a little bit of information from the Department of Homeland Security. I'm just going to give you just the difference in comparison to active shooting from 1971 all the way up until 2018. So in 1971, there was only 19 active shooters or active shooting incidents. Now, fast forward all the way until 2018, we have had 110 active shooter events. I did not get all the information in regards to the casualties, the ones that were killed, injured, or harmed in, you know, some shape, form, or fashion. But that kind of just gives you a quick depiction of the climate and trajectory of active shooting today. And then another statistic that I've also acquired through the Department of Homeland Security was shootings amongst police officers and black males. So, quick fact, young black males are 2.5 times likely to become shot and killed by a police officer. Just to kind of give you a better awareness or a number range in regards to how it would happen or occur, every one young black male out of 1,000 people will or shall get shot and killed by a police officer. Now you might think, okay, I don't have any young black males with them, you know, my family. Maybe I just have all girls. All right, cool. Young black females are 1.5 times more likely to be shot and killed by police officers in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, the reason why I bring up these statistics today, and I bring up these two specifically, not that they have any direct or specific correlation, but you have to think about it like this. The older that your children are getting, the more exposed that they're going to be into the outside world. And, you know, I sat down and, you know, I'm going through the information as far as getting my son enrolled into school. You know, me and my wife, you know, we're, you know, talking and discussing in regards to the school, the different curriculums and, you know, just the requirements to, you know, get him established inside the school. And, you know, with our discussion, I kind of like dialed back within my thoughts. And I was just really thinking like, wow, like here it is. You know, my son is 4 years old and he's about to kind of be out on his own, if you will. You know, no one's going to be holding his hand. Of course, there's going to be a set curriculum that's going to be administered and accustomed to his age group, of course, yes. But he's going to be out on his own as far as the exposure to which we're not accustomed to. Now, my son is, you know, extremely excited to see new friends, get to play around, learn new things, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not really his place, you know, to think about these things that a normal parent would. And it's unfortunate because these kids today, or kids in general, always have a life full of unlimited potential and full optimism. And us as parents realize that, especially us, you know, African-American parents realize that nothing out here is free. And of course, we have to work twice as hard to get half of what our colleagues and our counterparts get. And that is a frustrating thing on a day-to-day basis, but we try to elevate and maintain and sustain some type of quality of life, not only for ourselves, but for our family. And to try to push that narrative onto your children at such a young age, it will stifle their dreams, goals, aspirations, their wants, needs, and desires. And so me, I can't, you know, tell my son, you know, hey, let's stop watching Paw Patrol and let's, you know, look at this, you know, documentary on Emmett Till or all these things. Yeah, there's a certain time and place for that, but that all comes with tact. And right now, I want to still administer some foundation and a sense of safety and awareness, self-awareness for my son and all three of my boys. The reason being is because they're being targeted out here. As a black man, I know what it feels to feel like we're always a constant threat. We don't have to be doing anything. We could be, you know, the most polite, the most kindest, the most welcoming, But in the back of everyone's mind, we are probably the most feared, just off of the look and the appearance of us. But it's really what society and the media projects onto others. And I'm here to say, as a black man, that I know for me that I have to wake up each and every day, walk from out the house, and I have to put on this facade of I'm so, you know, happy, I'm so polite, I'm so nice. I gotta walk on eggshells as far as other people's feelings and emotions and thoughts. I gotta watch my own words to ensure that I don't trip up and you know, make people feel uncomfortable, unease, or threatened or alarmed. And that's not even talking about with sexual harassment or sexual assault or anything of that nature. But I'm going a little bit further down the rabbit hole, but just to kind of dial back, the world is a very dark and gritty place. Of course, the people that are in it, we are the ones that kind of be that beacon of light, that beacon of hope. And I get all of that. But the biggest thing for me right now as a father with this, you know, milestone in my son's and as well as my life is the safety and the well-being of him. And we always, you know, sit down and have different talks about different milestones. One could be about marriage. One could be about, you know, sex, the birds and the bees. Another one could be about, you know, maybe a specific job or just a certain relationship or a certain dynamic that has been introduced into either your life or your child's life, maybe your significant other's life. And you have to have these certain talks about certain issues, and you have to be extremely delicate in regards to how you approach and you engage this this dynamic to converse about these issues and topics or relevant information that will determine just safety, because that's all you want. You want to ensure that your child will leave your house in one piece and come back in one piece. Now, they might get bullied. They, you know, might get, you know, a little bit of tussle at school or what have you, or maybe, you know, walking back home. But at the end of the day, you can still hold them and hug them in your arms. And so today, I present 9 tips, tools, and trades, and including a bonus one, in regards to how to ensure that you can bring your child to and from home safely. So stay tuned. I gotta pay a few bills, so let's go ahead and play this ad, and I'll get right back to you with these tips, tools, and trades. Bye.
Mash Task Podcast.
What up? And we back. And this is your boy Polo Pool. I am the host of the Man Stash Podcast, and this is episode 5, Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Before the break, we were talking about essentially ensuring that our kids are kept safe, whether in our custody or not. Specifically, with this new upcoming school year about to ramp up, we want to ensure that we give our children the right tools, tips, and trades to ensure that they get to and from home safely. Now, with today's national narrative with gun violence, and specifically with active shooting amongst the schools, it also trickles down into our community, the African American community, because regardless of all of the outside narratives and, you know, threats or what have you or whatnot, we still are left with the idea that we are a threat due to the color of our skin. And so how do we tell our children or our loved ones or the young people out there to be aware, be cognizant, be safe, get home to us safe, you know, and be smart about how you approach things and situations. And so I shall be giving you guys 9 tips, tools, and trades with an additional bonus one in regards to how to properly engage with the local law enforcement. And then I'll give you steps after those steps in regards to dealing with the active shooter within a school or some type of establishment. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get down to the list and the nitty gritty of these tips, tools, and trades. So number one, anytime you're engaging with any law enforcement, whether you got pulled over, you're walking on a path and they might be on a foot patrol, you want to ensure that number one, you are polite, you're respectful when you're stopped by the police, and keep your mouth shut. The reason being, I'm talking to parents, but this is going to be addressing to kids. If you're out there in these streets, whether you're with a group of your friends, families, or loved ones, whether you're driving, you know, you're enjoying like your time within school and stuff like that. Listen, you want to live to fight another day. So don't give them any lip, you know, just comply with anything and everything. Stay quiet, stay cognizant of what you're doing. You know, a good leader is a good listener. So, you know, even if you're with a pack of guys or, you know, a pack of your girlfriends or just a group in general and y'all walking to and from home, or you might be driving to and from home, whatever the case may be, and your form of travel or commute to your place of residence, make sure that you're polite, respectful, and just keep your mouth closed. All right. Remember that this is number two. So remember that your goal is to get home safely. If you feel that your rights have been violated, you and your parents have the right to file a formal complaint with your local police jurisdiction. The reason why I made this number two is because it's paramount. These are probably the top two things that you need to, you know, adhere to, because a lot of times that we get so combative that we try to fight the system ourselves. You know, we get into survival mode. And what you want to do in any of these situations, because it's a heightened situation and circumstance that you have been led to with this event. So if you're not aware with the law or, you know, the misuse or mistreatment of the law or that badge, just wait until you get into a safe position in a safe area and a safe environment to be able to, you know, go to the local police department or maybe the local mayor's office, somewhere of a public defendant. You want to go to someone as far as an authoritative figure to address these issues or misuse of authority within the law enforcement. And it also give you time to learn about the law if you don't know anything about it. But if you can, you know, retain all the things that had transpired amongst your encounter with the law enforcement, that will be great. I would highly suggest and recommend that you write everything down from the moment that they stop you, from the moment that you are been released. But moving along and moving forward, number three, under no circumstance get into an argument with the police. The reason being is because, like, for what? Like number two stated, your end state and overall goal is to get home safely. So if they tell you to do X, Y, and Z, just go ahead and do it. You don't want to do anything. It might, you know, take a shot at your pride, but listen, pride comes before the fall. And just to ensure that, you know, those young folk out there are getting home safely, listen, you might feel as though you can do anything and everything under the sun. You might feel as though you're Superman or Superwoman and you can take on anyone. And listen, that's not the case. All right. These people have been properly trained with these firearms and they're not afraid to use them. So don't try to get in an argument or yelling match or a pissing contest with these people. All right. You don't know their whole mind state or mindset in regards with engaging with teenagers or adults. All you know is that you want to make it home and they're hindering you from doing so. So just comply and do as told until you can get to a safe and proper environment to address this situation and circumstance. Number four, always remember that anything you say or do can be used in a court of law. Listen, if you don't know the law, be quiet. If you do know the law, be quiet. Maybe you might be uneasy or unsure, still be quiet. Anything that you can do or say can be used in a court of law. So why not say if you do end up in court, and if the police officers said that you have complied with all requests, orders, and directives, then, you know, the judge and the jury will, you know, understand and be cognizant and aware that, hey, this person did everything that he was told. Whatever transpired, you know, after that, you know, is loose up to, you know, interpretation. But this person did what they were supposed to do. Also, with that is, again, it goes back to number one, keep your mouth closed. All right. You know, while you're being, you know, interviewed or interrogated, you want to, you know, look at the most identifiable information. You want to check his badge number, check out the officer's name. You want to get a brief description as far as his height, his weight, his eye color, hair color, possible age, maybe some identifiable marks if the, you know, officer has any tattoos or any scars. You want to check his police car. You want to see if he has a specific license number or a vehicle number on the side of the car. And, you know, maybe give out the make and model. You want to do all these things while your mouth is closed, because you never know what could possibly happen. But you want to get as much information from him without having to say anything at all. So just comply with what you have to do. Keep your mouth closed. Get all, you know, acquire and ascertain all the information that you possibly can. And, you know, get released from there and do whatever it is that you need to do. All right. So that was number four. Number five. All right. You want to keep your hands in plain sight and keep them out of your pockets. You know, us being, you know, people of color, we're already viewed as a threat just by the color of our skin. So we don't want to add anything, you know, other to that. So the biggest thing is that they're always going to be looking at your hands, your eyes, and your feet. You want to ensure that your hands are out of your pocket. Preferably you just put them in front of you, just, you know, and cross them, or whatever it is you want to do. You can keep them visible. Even if you want to put them on the hood of the car, you want to keep them up. You want to ensure that you are not a threat. You're not trying to pose as a threat, and you're not trying to engage them where you may inflict, you know, bodily harm to them, because then they'll have the right to you know, openly fire on you, even if they do have a taser. But some people just go straight for that firearm and engage the threat and try to, you know, end the threat right then and there. But aside from that, that is number five. Number six, avoid physical contact with the police officer. No sudden movements and keep hands out of your pockets. Again, you don't want to, you know, pose a threat to any of local law enforcement or law authorities, all right? So, you know, this is kind of like just reiterating, hey, don't do stupid shit, all right? Number seven, do not run if you're afraid. Listen, just like I said at the beginning of this episode, if you are instilled within integrity and you're passionate about it, there's no reason for you to, you know, run away. I mean, yeah, you might be afraid and timid because you're seeing this person decked out with all these weapons. They may seem or pose as a threat, or seem kind of, their demeanor may seem, you know, threatening. But keep your, you know, cool, cool composure, and, you know, just be aware of your surroundings and the person. Engage them the correct way. Be respectful and mindful of that. This is just a heightened event that is occurring, and you want to ensure that you have the most safest course of action and you get home safely. Number eight, Even if you do believe that you're innocent, do not resist arrest. Again, the end state is for you to get home. If you get detained for maybe a couple of hours, couple of minutes, couple of days, months, year, the end state is for you guys to get back home, okay? We have too many of our folk incarcerated right now. And the biggest thing is that we want everyone to get home. We want everyone to be successful and happy. We don't want to give them a reason to put this in the jail or under the jail, all right? So the biggest thing that you want to do is just comply, all right? You're not going to beat the law. You can't beat or break the system, no matter how smart or tough or maybe how well off you may be. You're still viewed as a threat. They don't see you nothing more and nothing less. All right. Number 9, don't make any statements about the incident until you are able to meet with a lawyer or a public defender. Again, if you know the law or if you don't, or if you're unsure, go to those persons who do. All right. So they can address that information properly and engage whatever, avenue or approach that they need to correctly, handle the situation or circumstance. All right. Now, the bonus one. All right. Last but not least, stay calm and remain in control. Watch your words, your body language, and your emotions. Again, in this day and age, we can turn on the TV and we can see, another young black male killed, another young black female killed by a police officer, no less. And the moment that we are engaged with them, there's this heightened sense of fear and a heightened sense of threat on both ends, because we don't know how this situation or scenario may end out. And that is a scary feeling or thing. Here it is, our taxpaying dollars is administering this person pension, salary, uniform, equipment, and that same money that we, bust our asses for and do on a day-to-day basis turns around and takes our child's life. That is a scary and incredibly hurtful feeling. And I pray that no one ever goes through that. But, here it is, we're in the United States, and it's an issue. It's a prevalent issue. It's a common issue. And I don't want our society and our community specifically to be desensitized to it. I want us to, be aware and address these issues properly and correctly to ensure that we mitigate any more senseless killings and losing our loved ones, man. And that was my tips, tools, and trades for engaging with the local law authorities, officials, and enforcement. Now, with active shooting, if your friend, family, child, or loved one is attending any type of school or any educational establishment, these are going to be the 3 steps for them and for you. The first one, which all 3 come from the Department of Homeland Security, is going to be run. You want to run from this situation as fast and as quickly as possible, but you want to be smart about it. You don't want to run into like a small confined area or room where they could easily identify where you're at, your location, and potentially harm or kill you. You want to look for your quickest egress route or your quickest exit, whether it's a fire exit, stairs, elevator, whatever, what have you. You want to always be aware every time you go into some type of establishment or area, you want to look at the fire evacuation plan and find the quickest way out of that establishment. That way you can better ascertain how you can handle a situation, and you could probably get yourself out and others safely by understanding and knowing which ways and what procedures and protocols to, leave the premises as quickly as possible. Before you would run out in to an evacuation zone or area during active shooting, be sure that you pull a fire alarm. If it's in the same distance or travel that you're leading out to the door or exit, please, I would highly suggest and recommend that you pull that fire alarm. That way it will ensure that the local fire department will come and address that alarm properly. They have to, and that will give that first line of communication, if it haven't been addressed or issued out to the local law enforcement by the proper educational authorities, teachers, principal, or educational staff. If they didn't contact the local law enforcement, at least you did your due diligence to ensure that you have alerted the law enforcement or local fire department to come to this specific location. That will probably either deter the active shooter to continue their reign of terror or engagement with that firearm or firearms. It will expedite the process or make them leave the premises, because most likely they don't, want to get caught, or some feel as though they want to get caught or they don't have anything else to lose. But this way, this will possibly protect, other possible victims and, citizens that might don't have the chance to exit from out that facility or establishment. Number two is going to be hide. If you can't run or go to, the closest exit, hide. But you want to be smart and aware of your surroundings, all right? So say if you are in a classroom. So I would highly advise you and recommend that you barricade all doors, close all windows, ensure that there's no visibility in and out of the classroom until the coast is clear. The reason being is because you don't want to give that active shooter the visibility of potential targets or potential victims that he could, administer, lethal harm or bodily harm to you or any persons that are around you or surrounding you. All right. So, hide, but do it properly. Barricade the doors, whether it was but chairs, tables, desk, anything that could obstruct entering that said door. And, hide properly. You want to get the proper cover and concealment to interdict any type of bullets or firearms discharge that could, harm you in any type of form or fashion. And lastly, fight. If you can't do the other first two, your choice is to fight. Some people might be scared or afraid to do so. Here it is, this person with these lethal weapons that can harm me or end my life abruptly. Most oftentimes, they're not properly trained. All right. And a lot of active shooters that have been disarmed disarmed by a chair or, something, minuscule or minute, but it was able enough to, throw them off of, their path of destruction and terror, and, properly been apprehended or detained. But you want to fight, you don't want to, this is your life, guys, and at the end of the day, you don't want to lose it by just sitting there and, in fear and terror and didn't do anything about it. I know me personally, if I was about to, lose my life, I would ensure or I would do my very best to put my life on the line to fight, because I'd rather, go out fighting than, just stand there and let someone just, take some open hits and shots off of me. That's just not my style. But to those who are out there, these are the tips, tools, and trades. All this information can be found at the Department of Homeland Security. I've also used a lot of these different tactics and strategies throughout my course in my military tenure. But this is for our young folks and the kids that are about to start up the new school year. So whether you're in Head Start, pre-K, first, second, third, fourth, or, any eighth grade, 12th grade, college. You could even be an undergraduate or someone going for their master's or PhD. Again, if you're in any type of establishment, even this, you can use this for the work environment as well. Again, you know, adhere and administer these tips, tools, and trades. And I assure you that you will, you know, get home safely, because that is our end state, guys. That is our safe haven. That's what we try to do at the end of every single day when we're out here doing what we need to do to accommodate our responsibilities. So without further ado, I want to take the time out to name out a few of our young black males that been succumbed to shootings, whether it was with active shooters and or police inequality or injustice. I just want to take a moment out for them to, again, pay my own respects, but also to acknowledge that their voice and their fight has not been done. There's always going to be someone advocating and pushing the directive and the narrative that this is not okay. This should not be a common thing, and it has to stop, specifically in our community. These are potential kings out here that could be your potential husbands. These could be your sons, your brothers, your fathers, role models for your children. Role models for you could be mentors for you. You never know what their potential could be, but their lives all have been abruptly ended by a person behind that firearm. So without further ado, first one is going to be Eric Logan, Jamari Robinson, Gregory Hill Jr., Jaquavion Slayton, Ryan Triman, Brandon Weber, Jimmy Atchison, Willie McCoy, E.J. Fitzgerald Bradford Jr., Dietrich Griffin, Jamel Roberson, DeAndre Ballard, and Botham Sheem Jean. All these have lost their lives. You know, this was someone's son, someone's brother, a father, a cousin, nephew, uncle. This one, this has been people or persons that have lost their lives way too early and did not deserve any of this. But as I stand here and speak to you today, I want you to acknowledge and address these issues, not just to yourself, because it's prevalent. These are there. You have to be aware of these things. And if, you know, you are a father figure or male role model, or even if maybe for you ladies out there, if you're a mother of children of boys or just children in general, and you want to ensure their safety, please instill these tips, tools, and trades, or instill that love that, hey, you want them to come home. Always do the right thing, move in the right way, and move at the right time to ensure that their safety is assured. Again, I want to thank everyone who has listened to this podcast and just took out the time to, you know, at least get to the trades, the tips, the steps that I have, you know, laid out for you guys. It's been a pleasure and a blessing to all those who have listened, shared, and supported this podcast. Again, you can email me at themanstashpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me at themanstashpodcast on Instagram. I'll also be posting a website through Facebook within this upcoming month. But be on the lookout for that. You can also leave me a voice message. It won't be shared or published amongst my streaming service, but it will be directed towards me. And, you know, whether you have any questions, comments, and concerns, or maybe even feedback, please, you know, insist that you do so. Thank you for all my listeners out there. And this is Pull out. Bow. Take it easy. God bless.
I love you, Daddy.